Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday, primary Tuesday. We do appreciate you listening. Text line 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the show. You text me. Let me know what you're seeing out at your precinct. I'm hearing real low numbers, real easy in and out real quick. So let that be, let that be an omen, let that be a kind of a guidepost there. You know, like, go out and vote. You get it done. Still to come, John Wall, about an hour from now, we'll kind of put a finishing touch on at least the Jeff Poor Show's coverage of the primary. We'll do a big recap tomorrow. Tomorrow we will be once again in Montgomery for a legislative session. But joining us now, we spent a lot of time on this race. I think it is the marquee race on the ballot tonight, or on the ballot today, I should say. But Congressman Jerry Carl, the incumbent here, is with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you, buddy.
Hey, thanks.
We've worked and worked and worked, and we're finally here. You know, it's kind of like Mardi Gras, I guess. Today's Mardi Gras day for us politicians.
People
that run for office.
Just want to be pundits, I suppose, too. It is Fat Tuesday. Let's get started. I mean, how you feeling? What are you hearing out there? Give us kind of a rundown.
Well, you know, we're hearing positive stuff. We got lots of people out working today. The turnout has been very slow so far this morning. The rain has held off. That's a good thing. We've still got plenty of daylight with folks out before 7 o'clock and vote. You know, the polling that we've seen the last couple of weeks has been in our favor. But the only polling I'm really focused on is tonight when they start counting votes. That's the only polling that truly counts. So we're excited to win this. We got into it with the intention of winning, and we're going to finish it by winning. So we've worked very hard. I think we've earned it, and we'll get to represent the 119th Congress, the district number one district.
Well, and you know, kind of looking back at this race, we knew it was going to be bumpy. It's like that anytime in all 50 states when you have two incumbents opposing one another. Any surprises, like anything that you knew it was going to be contentious, but anything that kind of startled you or you just like, I never would have thought it would have ended up this way.
You know, I was disappointed, in the Club for Growth getting so involved. I think they wound up dropping a little bit shy of 700,000. You know, Barry saying that he would not accept their money. He would not accept their endorsement. But yet, when it did come out, he kind of went quiet. He knew he needed it, I guess. And that all this would be hindsight. But Club for Growth has been so negative on the Gulf Coast, whether it's also shipbuilding, whether it's our farm bill. But they've just been so negative from a business standpoint on the Gulf Coast that I was surprised. I was really surprised when Barry didn't come out and talk against him, say, I don't need or I don't want that money, which he did not, after telling everybody that he would. There's not a lot of surprises as far as the campaign itself. We knew it was going to get nasty. We knew it'd get ugly. We knew there'd be outside influences on both sides that come in. And I heard you earlier talking. I hope people understand that as candidates and campaign staff, we have nothing to do with all these outside groups that come in. And they come in for whatever reason that they feel necessary. And quite frankly, some of it's positive for you and some of it's negative against you. But the Club for Growth was one that really surprised me. And of course, most of Barry's money came from within the Beltway, if you'll really look at it. Most of mine, I had thousands of single donors. I mean, just thousands, $25, $50. I had a lot of money that just came from individuals. And, in these long campaigns, when you're getting in at midnight, you got to get up at 4:30 to go make it to a breakfast in Orange Beach at 6 o'clock in the morning or 7, 6:30. you know, you think about all those people that's put their little $25 up, you know, to support you. And that's what keeps you going. That's what pushes you to get out and just keep the fight going. And I think we've done a great job of that, Jeff. I mean, we've not missed an event. We've got up and gone. We've stayed busy and doing what we need to do, which is, you know, representing our folks at the same time as running a campaign. So I feel good about it today. A win. I'll take anything over 50%.
Well, let me bounce this off of you back to the Club for Growth discussion, because when that news came out, it was almost like it was a shot in the arm in some ways that some of your supporters thought that was like, oh, well, these guys are bad. And if my opponent or, you know, Barry Moore is cozied up to them, well, that's going to be a big positive for the Jerry Carl effort. Did you see it that way at all?
I didn't. I know a lot of people did, and I had a lot of the business community reach out to me and really set them on fire when that happened. But I'm a pretty straight shooter when it comes to stuff like that. There's money, there's things that we've turned down in campaigns in the past, and obviously this one, I can't understand. And if you understand Club for Growth better than I do, please let me know. But I can't understand what their motive is. So they were very strong on Barry in his 2020 campaign, So we felt like they would get involved. I had no idea they would get involved that much. So there's a lot of outside Beltway money, as it's called in Washington, in this campaign on Barry's side. So it says a lot about him. It says a lot about his campaign. It says a lot about who he's answerable to also. But I promise you, they didn't put $700,000 in his campaign for him not to do what they need him to do.
If you ever figure out the Club for Growth mystery, and I have friends who work there. One of my editors in the past is now one of their executives. Like, I have never been able to figure out why they do what they do, put rhyme or reason with it. But they are a factor in these races. They do show up, and sometimes they're on your side, sometimes they're not. But it's just how you deal with them, I guess.
Well, I didn't advertise this, and I didn't talk about it, but about a year ago, I won one of their top awards. Yes, you heard it right. And I took it, their little award, and I stuck it back in the backside of my shelf somewhere, and I haven't said a word about it. So I view them as being a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, you give somebody an award for doing a great job of being a conservative, and then you turn around and try to beat them. I don't understand them, Jeff. I don't think anybody in Washington understands them. I think they're an organization that's figured out how to get money out of a lot of wealthy people, because their winning ratio is not very good. Now, they supported Hightower very heavily. They supported Barry very heavily. But their winnings, I haven't seen a list, but I would be shocked if they were over 50% right on a winner. And that just confuses the public. But anyway, I don't want this race to be about just about Club for Growth. This is about Barry and I. And, you know, after the debate, you and I had a light conversation about this, but, you know, after the debate, I just decided then that, you know, I wanted people to hear who I was and what I am. And, you know, I'm a worker. I'm a worker bee. I've never hide that. I'm very proud of that. So we've just got out and talked our message. Our message is, you know, we're a workhorse, not a show horse. And it's obviously worked. The last 3 or 4 weeks has really picked up. Our numbers have improved. People understand what our motives are. And I think tonight it's going to show. I really do. I think tonight we'll come out on top.
Well, I ask your opponent this, and I'm going to kind of change the question a little bit, but you had to go out to the east part of this district, the Wiregrass, spend a lot of time, Coffee County, Houston County, Dell, Geneva, those places. Like, what was your takeaway there? How different are they from what you're used to in the current first congressional district?
The districts are, the people are just alike. You know, they want good, strong representation in D.C. They want people that are going to tell them what they're going to do and then actually go and get it done. And what I found in the Wiregrass, just great people, Jeff. I'm telling you, it's just there seems to be a shortage of leadership from the federal level over there. I'm talking about the House race. And I think our numbers are going to show that today. I really focused on what they have missed over the last 3 years versus what they should have received over the last 3 years. I mean, if you don't stop and think about it for just a second, we get community action money funding that we can use in our community, obviously. And I'm guessing over a 4-year period, they've lost probably close to $100 million over there.
Some fire stations and police stations and improving airports. And I mean, so many things that could be used for. So they missed it because of my opponent's opinion on that. And he's entitled to his opinion, but I think themselves today, being election day, are going to express their opinions on it. So we've expanded a lot of things over District 1. Over the last 4 years, I have fought for every dollar I can to come back to our district and take care of our people, our firemen and our policemen. I think that's very important as a community. We do that. And, you know, I think the numbers in the Wiregrass are going to surprise a lot of people tonight because of the turnout and the passion that we've developed over there. Just great people, though. I'm excited trying to figure out how to blend these two districts together. Wiregrass has got to remain the Wiregrass. The Gulf Coast has got to remain the Gulf Coast, but it's got to become District 1. And I think I'm the person that can do that. I've done it with several businesses. I've done it. It's not the first time I've done something like this. So we're excited to get our hands into it and start focusing on our ag community, start focusing, you know, on our military base, Novacell over there. Oh, my gosh. There's so many things we could be doing on Novacell. The great thing about that is we have Katie Britt, Cinder Britt. We got Tommy Tugwell. Both of those are on standby, ready to help us with Novacell. And, of course, Mike Rogers on House Armed Service Chairman. He's ready to help us, too. So we're going to step in there. We're going to try to do some big things on Novacell pretty quick.
Well, react to this, and this is something your opponent talks about. I think this is a difference here. The idea of, you know, bringing home the bacon versus trying to get the physical house in order. I mean, sometimes you could do both, I know, but the hard decisions and making those.
Bringing home the bacon, I think, is part of that show horse attitude that I've been talking about through this whole campaign that he has. That money is 1%. It's half of 1% of the budget without the defense budget included. It is split up 435 different ways. That money will be spent. It's carved in stone. It will be spent. So by turning that $100 million away, roughly, that I'm talking about, he turned away, that could have been spent in Nancy Pelosi's park out there in California, or it could be up in New York. It could be anywhere. But somebody's going to get it. It doesn't go back into the budget. You know, if we're going to fix this country, we're going to fix it. The problems in this country, we've got to start looking a whole lot deeper than $100 million. We've got to start shipping trillions out of this package. And we can do it. It's going to be very uncomfortable for a lot of people, but it will happen. It has to happen. And when you start looking at the social programs just eat up so much of our budget. The Farm Bill is a great example. 9% of that goes towards actually helping the farm community. 91% actually goes to helping social programs. So, you know, when he says, you know, it's the buck stops here, I'm not going to start going after earmarking money. That's silly. That's not earmarking money. That's community grant money that we're all entitled to for our districts. So me to turn my back on that, walk away. I mean, I don't understand that mentality. Almost a purist mentality, you know.
Well, tell me this then: what is the answer to that question? How do you start getting? And I know it's a heavy lift. You got to get a lot of votes, and we could talk about that some other time. But where do you even start the debt deficits in order?
Well, you start looking at the future. You start looking at folks that are not like you and I,
that we've been paying into Social Security program our entire life. You start looking at the age change of the young folks, of 14, 15-year-old kids now, you know, that before they really get into the workforce itself, make a small adjustment there. You know, let's start focusing on some of these social programs. So if I can't go anywhere, somebody's not saying, do you know about so-and-so program that we can get money from? And I'm going, no, I'm not aware of that one, but it doesn't surprise me. There are so many government programs out there financing so much junk, just junk. So we've got, you know, one of the things I did on appropriations, which I'm so proud of, everybody thinks when you get on appropriations that you get to write checks and spend money where you want it spent. I spent my first year on appropriations cutting budgets. I mean, we cut one as much as 30%. So, and I'm proud of that. That's what it's going to take. And folks, it will not happen overnight. It will not happen overnight. But you got to get the right people in there. We got Trump coming along. Yesterday, the verdicts that came down is very encouraging to all of us. So if we get Trump in the office, if we can take the Senate, if we can keep the House, we can get so much done in this country. Start looking at regulations. Start looking at rollback on our environmental issues. I mean, just start chipping away at it as fast as we can, but still keep a little bit of a control. Jeff, it's going to take a 10 or 15-year plan to get this turned around, but it's going to take a commitment from people that actually want to get it turned around. And screaming and fussing about somebody taking $1.5 million to help a police department is ridiculous. Well, that's not what we need. We need trillions.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. We're kind of running low on time, but I mean, probably a lot of people tuning in first time to Cycle, kind of make a closing pitch to them.
You know, if you want somebody that's going to go to Washington and actually get things done, it just doesn't talk the talk, walk the walk, vote for Jerry Carl. I'm a worker. I'll always be a worker. That's always my focus, is to get a job done and get back home to my family. Simple as that.
Well, Congressman, best of luck to you tonight. And either way, win or lose, let's be back in touch. Really appreciate you really accommodating us throughout this election cycle.
Thank you, Jeff. Look forward to celebrating.
Thank
tonight.
You.
Maybe you can come join us.
No, probably not. Congressman Jerry Carl there. Got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FN Talk 106.5.
One step in my heart, themselves, and their slow moving dreams.